Well, we have been poised for Supreme Court decisions with the session ending in just a few weeks. Today, we didn't get any of the big three, cases involving gay marriage, immigration, and the Voter Rights Act. But today, the court did strike down an Arizona law that required people to prove U.S. citizenship before they could register to vote in federal elections. Emily Bazelon is legal affairs editor for Slate. She joins us from the studios of Yale University. Emily, first, this was a voter-approved 2004 law. Flesh out, what did it require?
It required people to provide proof of citizenship, their immigration papers, their birth certificate, their driver's license, if the license could actually tell whether they were a citizen or an immigrant.
Yeah, so this wasn't about, you know, the ID cards when you go to vote. This was registering. And a pretty strong 7-2 ruling against it. What was the court's reasoning?
There's a federal law that sets forth what people are supposed to provide when they register to vote. And it says that for non-citizens, you're supposed to swear that you've been naturalized. The federal law says that states have to accept and use this form. And so the Supreme Court said accept and use can't mean adding on this whole separate kind of requirement that Arizona did. And so the court, you're right, in a strong ruling, struck down Arizona's law.
Yeah. And three other states with almost identical laws had joined Arizona in arguments. You know, of course, those are struck down as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the larger context here is we've seen a rash of voter ID laws in the states, and really most of them have been struck down either by state Supreme Court rulings or federal courts. And it's interesting to see that this particular kind of effort to tighten up voting has really not passed through the courts.
Does that surprise you? Because it's considered a conservative court.
It's somewhat surprising, but there's a very careful textual analysis here from Justice Scalia in which he says, look, the Constitution gives states the power to say the time, place, and manner of elections, but then it says that Congress can alter and make its own rules. And so basically Scalia's ruling of that dual way in which the Constitution apportions responsibility to the Congress and to the states is to say, you know what, Congress wins. And so because of that constitutional provision, that's what really drives this rule. Ruling here.
Let's see how many other rulings, decisions we can get in. Not the big three, but important to people. In another ruling, the court said a jury, not a judge, should make the call on facts that can trigger mandatory sentences. Now, this was a case, someone was convicted of armed robbery and firearm possession. Alan Alleen, I think is the name. What does this mean?
Well, this is this string of cases the court has issued in the last several years saying that juries, not judges, have to find the facts that determine whether someone goes to prison and now how long they are sentenced for under a mandatory minimum. And so essentially what happened in this case was this guy, the jury said, okay, yes, he used the gun that he was convicted for, but they didn't find that the firearm was brandished. And if you had the brandishing, you had a 7-year mandatory minimum. Without that, it was only 5 years. The judge said, I think there was enough for brandishing here. I'm going to give him at least 7. And the court said, no, the jury had to find that fact.
Oh, fascinating. In another decision, the Supreme Court ruled that prosecutors can use a suspect's silence against him if it comes before he's been read his Miranda rights. You know, always the debate is about can what you say be used before you are read your Miranda rights? But if you don't say anything, the question is, can that be used as well? What was the case and what was the ruling?
Well, this is a guy named Salinas, and he was being questioned by the police, and he started answering some questions about a murder. But then the cop said, well, do you think that if we tested your gun, we'd find that the shell casings used in this crime matched your gun? And he stopped talking. So then at trial, the prosecution used the fact that he had stopped talking against him. And he said, wait a second, I have a right under the Fifth Amendment not to incriminate myself. The court said, no, you know, you have to explicitly say I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right. And since you just kept quiet, the prosecution can point that out to the jury.
Okay. Thank goodness it's you explaining these and not me, because I think we have room for one more. And this is a patent ruling. This is a case that involves deals between drug companies and their generic drug competitors. The court ruled today that these deals could be illegal in some cases because they violate antitrust law. They keep cheaper forms of drugs off the market. This is when drug companies make a deal with the generic competitors not to make the drugs. And the justices say the government can inspect what's called pay for delay arrangements. This is paying these companies to delay making the drugs. You say this is the one that's going to prove to be significant.
I think so. You did a great job explaining it.
Thank you.
What happened in this case, a company called Solve was making a generic version of a drug called Androgel. That's a drug that increases testosterone levels for men with low testosterone. So Solve went to the Food and Drug Administration, said, our drug doesn't infringe on the patent of the company that makes Androgel. It won in front of the FDA, but then Solve entered an agreement with the maker of Androgel not to sell its drug. Essentially, it's an anti-competitive agreement to keep the generic, which is lower cost, off the market. Solve got paid millions of dollars for just keeping its drug away from customers, and the court said that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, can sue Solve to try to dismantle the agreement because it hurts competition.
Interesting. It seems as if the court, between this and its ruling last week on whether you can own gene research, the court seems to be saying get medication out to people, just in an overarching way. Emily Bazelon, legal affairs editor for Slate. Emily, thanks as always.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving for a look at what's going on in Congress and how it might affect Marco Rubio. Just kidding, but Marco Rubio does seem to be the man in the spotlight with immigration reform and many Republicans grumbling. Well, actually, one said flat out, he is dead to us. So what does that mean? Well, we know what it means, but more on what it means politically in 1 minute here and now.